Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 27. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, and as the Eagles prepare for preseason game number 2 in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, this team has questions to answer. The 17-9 victory over Tampa Bay last week offered a glimpse of how good the defense can be and showed just how special teams can turn a game around. And it also raised some questions about the offense, all of which we will discuss here in the Eagles Live Podcast. To begin, we begin with a trade. The Eagles on Tuesday announcing a deal that sends off offensive lineman Dennis Kelly to the Tennessee Titans in exchange for wide receiver Doriel Green. Beckham, the 40th pick in last year's draft, a second-round selection by Tennessee. He had 34 catches as a rookie, 4 touchdowns, a world of talent, but also very much questions about his off-the-field character and his work ethic on the field. Along with that, the Eagles announcing that future Hall of Fame safety Brian Dawkins added to the team full-time in football operations. He'll work as a scout, and he'll also work in player development, and that ties in with the acquisition of Green Beckham. Howie Roseman talking about the trade and about the impact Dawkins can have in Philadelphia. Howie, let's talk about the deal and what, when you watch Doriel Green Beckham on tape, what do you see?
Well, the first thing that strikes you is the size, the length, catch radius. He's a huge guy. Being able to go, and you saw it last year, him being able to go up and get the football, fades in the end zone, in the red zone. That's what it starts with there. And he has an opportunity to come in here and prove himself and see what he can do with that opportunity.
How does a trade like this happen?
Well, I think a lot of credit deserves to go to the Titans and John Robinson. You know, just the conversations are always easy with them. We get straight to the point. They were looking for offensive line depth. Dennis has been a solid player for us, a guy that we were actually counting on going into the season. They were looking for a third offensive tackle, and we're looking for a receiver. And to get something in this league, you got to give up something, and that's just the way the trade panned out. And we wish Dennis the best of luck, and it's a hard trigger to pull when you're talking about a kind of person and contributor that Dennis has been to our football team.
You've talked about some of the young linemen who you see developing. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about that group and how you've mitigated the loss of Dennis?
Yeah, I think when you look at Matt Tobin, a guy who started a bunch of games for us, and him transitioning to the tackle position, and you see the athleticism, the feet he possesses, and he's had a really good camp. And obviously we drafted V in the 5th round, and a great opportunity for him to take a step forward. And we have a bunch of other young offensive linemen here that we're excited to see what they do with this opportunity. And I think there's a level of excitement when you start playing young players. And for us and where we are in our process right here, we need to know what we have. And that doesn't make it any easier to make this trade with Dennis, because he was a security blanket to us.
And then the message to not only the wide receivers, but the entire roster, acquiring a player who was a second round draft pick last year.
Well, I think you can look at it two ways. One, you know, when a guy's a 40th pick overall a year from now, how quickly this league can get by you. And it's just an eye opening for all of us. And Dave, you've been in the league so long, you see it. It's just, you got to take advantage of your opportunities. And at the same token, we've talked about competition. We've talked about adding competition, and it's no reflection on anyone at that position, but we got to continue to do that. And for where we are and the lack of draft picks we have going forward, we're going to have to take some chances. That doesn't mean we didn't do our due diligence and research this to the extent that we could, but you know, we felt like it was a risk worth taking for our football team.
Now, it's been very public about Doriel's off the field mm-hmm. situation and his work ethic, etc. Mm-hmm. What's the challenge there? Getting him to realize his ability and play to his maximum?
Well, I think the one thing we discussed as an organization was that we all got to rally around him and figure out the ways to get him to reach his potential. And that's something that we take very seriously. You know, I mentioned that we brought Brian here now full time to the organization because we take player development very seriously. And it's a priority of us going forward that we're going to try to develop these guys on and off the field. And who better to start that with than Brian Dawkins?
Part of his role perhaps is being a hands-on mentor to players. Is that kind
for
of
sure,
what you see?
For sure. And, you know, it was eye-opening when he was here for that week and just doing scouting, just the draw that he had in this organization on and off the field, the number of people who would just go over to him and start talking to him, whether it was in the weight room, whether it was on the practice field, whether it was in the building. And it was apparent after this week that this was someone that we wanted here on a full-time basis.
Well, when you look at Beckham's resume and the talent level, that is really extraordinary talent, isn't he?
There was a guy who played a long time against us in the NFC East that has a similar body type and probably similar rookie year in Plaxico, and those are big shoes to fall into. Obviously, he's got a long way to go in that, but he's got the ability. There's no question about that.
Thanks, Howie.
Thanks, Dave.
Three questions with head coach Doug Peterson about the Pittsburgh game directly ahead of this football team. So, Doug, it's week two of the preseason. What do you look for against the Steelers? What's the natural progression for this football team?
Well, you want to see your starters, number one, play longer, play through the first quarter, maybe even into the second. And at the same time, you were still in the evaluation process. So, you know, we want to keep our game plan simple and small and where they can go out and play fast and still get everybody in the football game in week two. But at the same time, you still want to come away healthy. I thought we got off to a good start with the way special teams defense started last week. And then offense has to clean up some stuff and just want to see if the guys have minimized the mistakes and make the necessary corrections this past week.
You've been through this so many times. The first game, some of it goes well, some of it doesn't go well. There's a tendency to overreact one way or another out there. How do you react?
It's one day at a time. I got to stay calm and stay the course. I mean, that's something that I believe in. It's something that's part of my DNA is you can never get too high, too low, you know, especially playing a quarterback position because it can affect you down the road. But I just have to maintain the course and steady the ship and keep the guys going in the right direction. And we're still in training camp mode. We're still evaluating players and we still haven't made those, you know, those final roster cuts yet. But, you know, each day is important now because we're sort of winding things down.
Potentially a significant setback if Lane Johnson is suspended. Does the offensive line have the pieces still to be a dominant offensive line?
I think so. You know, I think of our days there in Kansas City where we had some injury and we had some guys that were out and we had to shift some guys around and we found a way to make it work. And so my challenge to the offensive line will be the same. You know, if you're missing a piece, the next guy steps up and we're going to find the right five to go into Cleveland with. This has been a big week leading up to the Pittsburgh game because we're trying some new combinations in that offensive line.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Starting quarterback Sam Bradford should play at least through the first quarter after seeing action on only 3 snaps against Tampa Bay, so he looks forward to getting into more of a rhythm working behind the revamped offensive line.
You know, obviously when you only play 3 plays, it's hard to get into the rhythm that, you know, I just talked about. So, you know, hopefully with the extended action, we're able to do that. You know, I think, you know, obviously we're the two guys kind of directing everything out there. So, you know, it does fall a little bit on us, making sure that pre-snap everyone is on the same page. But, you know, I think that just goes back to, you know, our weeks of preparation have to be great, you know, especially, you know, these last couple weeks of training camp. You know, obviously with the reshuffling guys at new positions now who maybe weren't expecting to play those positions, you know, we've got to make sure that everyone's together, you know, and everyone's on the same page before, you know, week one.
With the Eagles anticipating a 10-game suspension of right tackle Lane Johnson, the coaching staff is moving some of its offensive line pieces around. Left guard Alan Barber is playing right tackle, and third-round draft pick Isaac Seumalo has been inserted at left guard. Barber is in his 9th NFL season, and he has 24 career starts, 7 of them at right tackle in 2009 when he played for the Green Bay Packers, and 1 as an Eagle when he replaced Johnson at the start of the 2014 season. Barber suffered a broken ankle in that season opener against Jacksonville and was moved back to left guard in 2015. But he's doing what it takes to become reacquainted with the right tackle position with the Steelers waiting on Thursday night. How's life at right tackle?
It's been okay. Just trying to get comfortable and kind of get adjusted.
What are some of the adjustments that have to be made?
It's just, you know, footwork, technique, balance, flipping the plays in your head, and everything's just a little backwards.
What kind of progress have you made in a couple of practices that you've been out there?
I feel like, you know, just getting more comfortable with everything. Every practice, I get a little better.
What does it mean to you, Alan, that they believe in you so much that they'll move you from the left guard position to a right tackle position?
You know, I think it shows that they, you know, they trust me, and you know, not necessarily my favorite thing to do, but at the same time, it's what's best for the team, then that's what we got to do.
Is it faster inside or is it faster outside?
Well, I mean, just dealing with a different kind of athlete, a lot bigger guy inside, a lot more speed on the edge, you know, so they're both fast. But it's a whole different world.
So with that in mind, how much are you looking forward to Thursday and the challenge of playing right tackle against that kind of defense?
I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, I just want to get out there and kind of keep getting, you know, more and more comfortable and kind of get adjusted to doing that again.
Is there enough time, Alan, between now and September 11th to feel that you are?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've done it before. I've been there before, so it's not like it's a whole new position.
How did you play when you were at right tackle before? How natural did it feel?
Until I got hurt, I played pretty good, yeah. You know.
And the timing with Brandon, how's that coming along?
I think it's good. I don't think we're, you know, we've even really missed a beat there. I think we just, he understands everything. We're good.
Thanks so much.
Hey, have a good one.
Along with the new-look line, the offense has the goal of getting more production from its wide receivers in Week 2 of this preseason, and that's what Eagles Hall of Famer and longtime radio analyst Mike Quick talks about in this week's press coverage.
Mike, the wide receivers are coming under a lot of scrutiny here after a tough first game in the preseason. Yep. So you've been in that position. What do you do if you're a receiver?
Well, first of all, I think they're coming under scrutiny for a good reason. They are not playing up to standard, and they just have to get better. You know, the main thing a receiver has to do is catch the football. That's primary. You're a receiver, you catch the ball. So even in a conversation with one of them, that's what I said to him, like, your main thing is to just catch the ball, even if you do nothing after that. So every day, if I'm you, I'm out there, all I want to think about is locking onto that ball until it stops moving in my hands. Until they get to that point, you know, they're not going to be effective. They can move beyond that, but they got to do A before they get to B or C, and that's just catching the ball.
This is not something new for this receiving group. We heard it all last year. We saw it last year.
Yeah.
Why so many drops? Lack of talent, lack of focus, lack of confidence. Why?
I can see a lack of confidence in some of these guys. Not sure about their hands. I watched a play the other night where a receiver went up, had his hands positioned one way, and then switched back another way. To me, that just clearly says that they're not confident in their hands. And the focus has to be better. They've got a guy coaching the receiver group that I know can give them good information. I know that he can teach them how to do what they need to do, but he can't catch the ball for them. And some of the plays that I saw on Thursday night were just lack of effort kind of plays. And guys that aren't going to give you the effort, in my mind, you move on beyond those guys and play guys that are going to give you the effort. So first of all, you got to give maximum effort. And if they're not doing that, then like I said, you need to move on from those guys and find somebody who really wants to play and give you the effort that you need to get out of them.
Nelson Aguilar was a first round pick last year. And 12 months ago, we sat here in training camp and said, this kid can really move. He's got good burst. He looks like he can make a contribution in his rookie season. He didn't, part because of the ankle sprain. Now he seems like he's really struggling, Mike. I mean, what do you think's going on in his head?
I just don't think that he's got a lot of confidence. When you're at that position, you got to walk on to the field knowing that, you know, you're one of the baddest guys out there, that you can't be covered. And I don't think he's to that point, to where he's comfortable in the NFL uniform and comfortable that he's the guy. And as a receiver, you got to have an ego like that. Even if you don't speak it, that has to be your mindset, that when you line up, they're going to have a problem trying to cover you. And I don't think he's to that point yet. All the good receivers in this league, they think they're the baddest dude on the planet when they walk onto the field. And if you don't have that mindset when you walk onto the field, it's easy for guys to take your heart and just take you out of your rhythm and who you are if you don't have that mindset.
So how do you develop that mindset?
Just work. Once you start to have success, it comes from that. And I don't see these guys having enough of those successes in their one-on-ones, in their team situation. Once you start to having that success, it begets more, and it just begets more, and you become better. And that's what they need.
Reuben Randall signs a one-year deal here. Got all the talent in the world, it looks like. Makes some spectacular catches. And then at times drops very easy passes. Why?
That's just concentration in my mind. And I've watched the same thing. I watched him make some great catches. I've watched him make several big plays, but then drop or let the easy ones get away. And that's simply a lack of concentration. In the game on Thursday night, he ran a real nice in route. And when the ball hit his hands, he was already turning his head to try and locate the safety. That's just concentration.
So Mike, what do you look for on Thursday in Pittsburgh? What does this group need to show you?
That group in particular, just some of the things that we've been talking about, the effort. They need to have the effort there. They need to have that ball stop in their hands. They got to watch the ball until it actually stops in their hands. And if you don't have that kind of focus, that type of effort, they're not going to have success. And as I said, the guys that can't do that, won't do that, they need to move on beyond those guys.
Do you have concern about the ability of this group as a whole to separate, to create a window for the quarterback to throw through?
I do. You know, I've listened to Doug Peterson saying, you know, how he could scheme to getting guys open and different things. But inside of that scheme, guys have to be better individually working their route against the guy that they're working against, or working against the zone that's in front of them. They have to get better in all phases of what they're doing, because right now, that receiving group is disappointing.
So we're less than a month away from the regular season opener. Mike, how does this offense create a personality between now and then?
That's a great question, and that's what I'm looking to see. I want to see who this team is, especially the offense. I want to see the personality of them, because right now, I don't see it. I want to see who they're going to become. Is this a running team, run first team? Is this a passing team? Is this just a short slant type of passing team? Are they going to throw the ball down the field? I'm like you and most of us still waiting to see the identity of this offense.
It reminds me a bit of 2000 when the Eagles worked with the tight ends a lot. Got the ball to the running backs a lot, not as explosive on the outside. They kind of worked inside out. Could this possibly be a model through which the Eagles can follow?
When you look at the strength of this team, that is where they have to go. Work the ball inside out. You know, the tight ends are a real good group of tight ends. And you got Darren Sproles, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. But I would say the strength on offense, skilled position, you have to rely on the tight ends to be in the passing game, to be your biggest contributors, because that's what you see now as the strength. And hopefully you keep working with the wideouts so that they come along, and at some point that the wideouts can give you what you need from the wideouts. At least threaten deep so that you have opportunities to open the field up vertically so that you don't have to do everything on crossing routes in the horizontal passing game.
Sounds like a lot of work to do still. Now there's still time to get this work done, right?
That's the nice thing. It's training camp, and this is where you try and iron out all of those things going into the regular season, know who you are, and know what you're going to be as an offense.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
The goal of the preseason is to find the best 53 players on the roster, so each game is an audition for every player who steps on the field. A few young players stated their cases impressively last week against Tampa Bay, and we have three on defense in focus here. Defensive end Steven Means was a fifth-round draft pick in Tampa Bay in 2013, and after two seasons there, and then some time in Baltimore, Means landed in Philadelphia last season. In his first preseason game last week, Means had a quarterback sack and a hurry that resulted in a crisp Maragos interception. Could Means make this roster as a reserve defensive end? He just wants to take it day by day.
So, Steven, how was Thursday night and the experience that you had?
Blessing, man. Just thankful to be out there. It felt real good getting back out there on the field.
This defense is one that every defensive lineman I talk to, they love it. They love the idea of being aggressive. I assume you feel the same way about it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're a real defensive lineman if you don't like this system. This system right here is designed for, you know, defensive linemen that hurt.
Are you more comfortable, Steven, hand down, standing up? Does it matter?
The fact that I'm blessed to be here in a system with a coach who don't mind whether you stand up or put your hand down, as long as you switch it up and, you know, stay flexible with it, you know, it really don't matter.
Let's go back to you had a spin move that the other night. I've seen you use it out here in practice. Something that you've been working on adding to your repertoire?
Yeah, I mean, that was this guy, really. I didn't even know I was going to spin until I spent, you know, and then God put me in a lot of situations to prevail, and I just got to trust him and keep going with it.
How do you look at the situation here, Steven, just in terms of you and making it here, getting great playing time, making an impact?
I just look at it like I'm coming out here having fun every day. Today was tough. It was a hot one, but, you know, just having fun every day, coming out here playing a game I love to play, been playing since I was 5.
Safety Jalen Watkins has been a cornerback and a safety with the Eagles for 2 seasons. He spent time on the Buffalo Bills practice squad, and now he's back with the Eagles as a safety. Period. Against Tampa Bay, Watkins stood out with 4 tackles and a pass defense, hoping that he impressed the coaching staff in the process.
Jalen, how was Thursday night, the experience that you had and the performance that you had as well?
It was pretty good. First time back at safety in the NFL, and, you know, I was able to get my hands on some balls, get a couple guys on the ground, so that's really what the coaches want to see, just continue to get production.
You have played both safety and cornerback and kind of split your time there. Is it going to be beneficial to you, and has it been beneficial to you to be a safety exclusively, to really get a full understanding of what that position is all about?
Well, yeah, that's the thing I did in college, so it made it easier at corner, so now carrying over now to the league and doing the same thing I did in college. It definitely makes it easier for any position that I do play, if I go nickel, dime, whatever, because I have to know all the moving parts. So it's all beneficial to me.
How do you feel about what your performance on Thursday did for you in terms of reps, standing with the coaches and all that?
I'm pretty sure throughout the whole camp I proved that I can cover. That's never been a problem. And the tackles that came my way that I had to make, I made. So it's just about being consistent. And this week come out again, tackle well. Next week tackle well, I think I'll be fine.
So it's been the tackling that's not been as consistent as the pass coverage?
Yeah, obviously my pass last year. Being a corner too, just the transition in general from a corner safety mentality, that's one thing coaches are probably going to worry about is tackling. I mean, the coverage part should obviously be easier. But I mean, I tackle well, been tackling well in practice.
To do that, did you bulk up? Was it really a conscious offseason agenda for you to get that into that safety mentality of being physical and being more confident and sure in your tackling?
Yeah, it's more so a mental thing. When you're training, getting in positions that, you know, you're not going to be in at corner, obviously coming out of the middle of the field, tracking guys inside out, also, you know, getting your pads low, learning how to play lower, and just in practice every day, being conscious of getting low, and if you're going to ankle tackle, if you're going to high tackle. So every day I'm out here working these different scenarios, trying to get right for when the time comes, and paid off in the game.
Jalen, it's been an interesting few years for you here and moving around a little bit back here. How do you feel about just the progress that you've made as a football player?
I feel great. I mean, I came a long way from my rookie year, came a long way from year 2. I was on the practice squad, played some games last year, played well last year. Position change and all this, I'm still, you know, marching forward. So at the end of the day, that's what it's about, just getting better at whatever they play and trying to be the best player as long as I can, make this a long career. So
how do you feel about the defense in terms of understanding and getting it all down?
I love the defense. It's very similar to what I ran in Florida. The safeties are required to cover, required to be athletic and be able to play in space, and that's something that I do well. So it definitely is beneficial to me, and I love it.
How big is Thursday in Pittsburgh for you?
It's another game to put out on film. Great coverage, great tackling, and try to solidify myself and somewhere on this depth chart and in this team.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Rookie linebacker Joe Walker is a seventh-round draft pick from Oregon who opened eyes with his play last week as he attacked the line of scrimmage and made the case that the coaches can trust him backing up middle linebacker Jordan Hicks.
Joe, can you just kind of talk about the journey that you've had from draft weekend to now to playing in your first game? What's it been like?
It's been pretty surreal. Nonstop from my last college game, start training, go through pro day, then come out here, and it's been awesome.
How about, have you adjusted to the pace very quickly? I mean, you certainly seem to have. And certainly Thursday night against Tampa Bay, it didn't seem to be a problem for you.
I mean, it's taken me a little bit of time getting through OTAs. I think I made a lot of improvement from OTAs until now. So,
what's the hardest part of learning an NFL defense?
There's so many guys that have been in the league for so long, and they just know so much more than you. You know,
from a technique standpoint, you mean?
Technique, I mean, just little things that can really help you out.
Now, you played on Thursday, you made a couple of big plays, including the fourth down stop. As you look back at that and looked at the film, what did you see?
I think I had a couple good plays, but I made plenty of fair share of my mistakes, so just got to correct those for the next week.
I guess you take absolutely nothing for granted, right?
No, not at all. Yeah.
Now, Pittsburgh is a different animal for you. How big is that test on Thursday night?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an opportunity to go out there and kind of just show what we've been working on for the last week and just try and improve.
How about you taking control of the huddle, calling out the signals? What's that been like for you?
It's been great. I did it in college as well, but you got to get everyone on the same page, and that's kind of the Mike's job.
Thanks so much.
And how about the prize of the Eagles rookie class? Quarterback Carson Wentz had a solid performance in his debut against the Tampa Bay Bucks, but toward the end of his performance, he suffered a hairline fracture in his ribs. He's sidelined indefinitely, and he talks about the injury very briefly and his hope that he can return for the preseason finale against the New York Jets on September 1st.
First time I ever had a rib injury, so again, it felt weird. It was sore, but I wasn't sure how to react to it, and obviously, we found out the news yesterday. Obviously, heck, I'd love to play tomorrow. You know, that's kind of how I am, but we'll have to wait and see what the doctors recommend.
The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, is in his 40th season broadcasting Eagles football, and he's here to offer his perspective on the Eagles Live podcast every week. Here, then, is the Merrill Minute on the player he is watching most of all in preseason game number 2 against the Steelers.
The Eagles are in the Super Bowl! The Eagles are in the Super Bowl!
It's Groundhog Day! They did it!
Game should be in a museum.
I think there's a consensus of opinion that the most exciting and entertaining storyline of the summer is out for a while, and that, of course, is Carson Wentz, the rookie quarterback who came in the other night and created a lot of electricity because he is exciting and he is talented. But the quarterback who's going to play the biggest role in the success of this season is Sam Bradford. I'm anxious to see Sam Bradford in Pittsburgh Thursday night. Sam Bradford, every day in practice, has looked exceptionally good. He seems to be spry. He seems to enjoy himself out there. He is throwing with great accuracy. He's just done everything that the coaches can ask for him to do. And one of the big reasons is, for the first time in a long while, Sam has been able to spend the offseason conditioning instead of rehabbing. And I think that's a big difference. So Thursday night, when he lines up, hopefully the Eagles will put 5 pieces in front of him that will give him time. I look for Sam Bradford to have a solid performance and give us some high hopes.
That will do it for this Eagles Live Podcast, episode 27. A big thank you to Brian Thomas for his production, and to all of you for tuning in each and every week. We're back next week as the Eagles continue on in this 2016 preseason. Tune in this Thursday night at 7 o'clock as the Eagles take on the Steelers on Comcast Sportsnet and Cozy TV in the Philadelphia region. And stay tuned to PhiladelphiaEagles.com for complete game coverage. Thanks again, everyone, and have a great Eagles day.
EAGLES!